Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. In this series of podcasts, we have carefully selected recent articles included in the latest version of the OMA Obesity Algorithm, which is a comprehensive review of obesity medicine that can be found at obesitymedicine.org. We then discuss this new science with obesity experts. In this episode, OMA Chief Science Officer Dr. Harold Bays interviews Dr. Laura Davison about a recent article discussing the Diabetes Prevention Program Outcomes Study and long-term weight loss with metformin or lifestyle intervention. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
Hello. My name is Dr. Harold Bays, Medical Director and President of the Louisville Metabolic and Atherosclerosis Research Center, located in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm also the Chief Science Officer for the Obesity Medicine Association. Welcome to the Obesity Medicine Association podcast, where we pick a recent article that's included in the Obesity Medicine Association Obesity Algorithm. And then we got an expert to come with us and try to explain this article to us and what's going on. We're fortunate today to have Laura Davison. Dr. Davison, could you please tell the people who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm an associate professor in the Department of Medicine at West Virginia University School of Medicine. And I completed an internal medicine residency at WVU and served as chief resident. I am certified by the American Board of Internal Medicine and the American Board of Obesity Medicine. So I practiced internal medicine for over 15 years, and I saw the role of obesity in many chronic medical conditions I treated. And that led me to found the Medical Weight Management Program, which works in collaboration with bariatric surgery to make up the WVU Medicine Medical and Surgical Weight Loss Center.
Okay. Well, then I think you're the exact right person to talk about this because it's a very interesting article. This is an article by Apolzan, A-P-O-L-Z-A-N. And this article is entitled Long-Term Weight Loss with Metformin or Lifestyle Intervention in the Diabetes Prevention Program Outcome Study. Now, just to give people a refresher, you know, the Diabetes Prevention Program, it's a pretty important clinical trial that was conducted, a randomized controlled clinical trial that compared weight loss with metformin versus intensive lifestyle intervention. I want you to remember that term, intensive lifestyle intervention versus placebo. And then it had this other component, its outcome study. So they call that the Diabetes Prevention Program DPP, but this is called DPPOS. So it's the outcome study component. And what they did is they looked at these patients that were in the outcome component. And what they found most correlated with long-term weight loss were patients who were older, patients who had substantial initial weight loss, and another factor that was associated with long-term weight loss was the use of metformin. Dr. Davis, what do you make of that? What do you make of those findings on this outcome study that was done affiliated with the DPP?
Sure. Well, you know, the original study really focused on the intensive lifestyle intervention. And I think it's important to just give good background on what that included. So that included a goal of achieving 7% weight loss. And that was done through dietary changes and physical activity. And it was done with a very well-structured 16-session curriculum that taught self-management strategies, including things like stimulus control, problem solving. And a real hallmark of that intervention was the frequent contact of lifestyle coaches with participants. And that's the study that showed this really good reduction in diabetes in the lifestyle intervention arm. And so as a result of that, the DPP protocol, as it's known, has become widely accepted as an evidence-based lifestyle change intervention. So that's the background that you mentioned.
Right. And I mean, sometimes there's proprietary places you can go to that will advertise they're using the DPP, right? Using the DPP model, correct?
Exactly. Yeah.
Because it's evidence-based.
Very well-known protocol that's used, and it's been modeled by a lot of other people. Exactly.
And just for clarity, because I want to absolutely 100% nail this down, When we talk about intensive lifestyle intervention, what are we talking about again? I mean, if people are trying to see how this would apply to their clinical practice, I think there needs to be some, people need to step back and understand what we're talking about. What did they mean by intensive lifestyle intervention?
I think the really key point about that word intensive is the frequency of the contact with the participants.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's real easy for providers in care to just say, lose weight, I'll see you back in 3 months. And that has not really been shown to have good outcomes. But in this study where that intensive piece was in there, that showed good outcomes.
All right. So, and we're talking about what, you know, how many, again, just tell the folks about how many interventions did they study and what type of counseling did they receive?
So they did 16 sessions over approximately a 6 month period. So they're seeing them pretty frequently, definitely even more than once a month. And then after that, they slowed down their frequency of contact when they were in maintenance period.
So to your point, this is a lot different than as the patient is leaving out the door to give their credit card to the front desk or whatever. It's a lot different than saying, and oh, by the way, diet and exercise, right? It's not that. This is a commitment. This is a commitment on the part of the clinician and a commitment on the part of the patient. Is that what I'm gathering from you here?
That is exactly right.
All right. So, but in addition to that, which, I mean, that's a critical component, nutrition, physical activity, that sort of thing. What's going on with this metformin? I mean, of the three things they found, metformin was one of them. What do you make of that?
So what's really interesting about the study, and you really have to look at both studies to see how interesting this is remember that original trial studied people and looked at the results at about 3 years out on average. This study followed up those participants and looked at outcomes at 15 years. And they looked specifically at how did the arm of the trial that those patients were assigned to, how did that affect the outcome of long-term weight loss? And so what's really important about this is we all know that there are lots of studies about short-term weight loss interventions that can be effective. But what's really tricky is those long-term outcomes. And our patients tell us all the time that they can lose weight, but they have trouble maintaining that weight loss. So that's why this study is so important, is they looked at people at 15 years. And what they found was that the weight loss in the metformin group was higher than the weight loss in the patients who were originally assigned to the intensive lifestyle intervention.
You mean the weight loss maintenance, right? They were able to maintain their weight loss. That was one of the things that was most associated with long-term weight loss. Exactly what you said. The losing the weight, many times we can do better than people think we can. We can do pretty okay on that. Weight loss maintenance, not so good. Not so much, right?
Exactly.
And why do you think that is?
Well, there's a few theories about that. I mean, one thing is that when you're getting the positive feedback of losing and you see that scale number dropping, you know, it's that motivates you to stay with your program. So part of it is when you no longer see that and get that reinforcement, that positive reinforcement, and you just start to see a plateau, that's not as much fun. You know, it's hard to stick with what you're doing when you're not seeing that the great number on the scale dropping.
It's hard to maintain if it's not working, right? Yeah, I get it. Okay.
Yeah. And then of course there's metabolic adaptations that occur with weight loss too. So it seems like it's the perfect storm of those things combining that leads people to start regaining their weight.
So, and I know a lot of you know, our listeners are obesity medicine specialists, and I got to say the words, otherwise they will reach through the microphone and strangle me. I mean, you know, clearly combating insulin resistance has got to be at least part of the explanation. Don't you think?
Sure. I mean, we know that, you know, patients with prediabetes and diabetes very commonly struggle with their weight, in type 2 diabetes, that is.
Right. And you said that. You said there's all sorts of hormonal changes and such that go on. Okay. So I think that brings us to the next question. So you got a patient, they have the overweight or they have the obesity. You find out their fasting glucose level is like, you know, 120 milligram per deciliter. It's not quite diabetes, not quite type 2 diabetes, but it sure is pre-diabetes, and this is pretty consistent. Maybe their hemoglobin A1C is 6.4%. you're concerned, they got a strong family history of the diabetes mellitus and everything. And yes, you're going to be working with them with weight reduction, but when do you think about implementing metformin?
Yeah. And I think that question always comes up. When should we implement metformin? And the way I look at it, diabetes is a very common disease. The complications of it are very well established, and it's a very costly condition. So preventing it is a public health priority. So the good news is we can diagnose it early in this pre-diabetes stage. And we know now that we can try to intervene at that point to prevent the diabetes. That's what the DPP trial showed. And we can do that with lifestyle changes, but we can also do that with metformin. And so we have the evidence now that not only can the metformin be effective in preventing diabetes, but it also is associated with these long-term benefits on weight maintenance. And since that's where many people feel they need the most help with their weight management journey, I tend to use metformin fairly liberally.
So it's not indicated for that use for the listeners out there. It doesn't have a specific indication for that. But what I'm hearing from you is potential advantages to the patients are number one, you may prevent or at least delay the onset of the type 2 diabetes mellitus. And I mean, who doesn't want that for their patients?
Exactly.
And then secondly, according to the article we're talking about, there's a possibility you may be enhancing long-term weight loss. Is that an accurate summary of what I've heard from you?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Laura, thank you so much. I think this is really great information. I'm not sure everybody knows about the outcome study portion of the DPP. I think it's going to be very helpful. And I know a lot of our listeners use the metformin quite frequently, as do you. And hopefully they've gotten something out of this. So again, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Drs. Bays and Davison. For more information about Obesity Medicine podcasts and other resources from the clinical leaders in obesity medicine, please visit www.obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. Loved the episode of Obesity, a Disease? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. The views expressed in this podcast episode are those of the show hosts and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please check back in soon for another episode of Obesity, a Disease.